Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Whichever way, I'm open. Psalm 34, 1 to 5, the scripture says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away. And he departed and he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise, Psalm 34, 1, and his praise shall continually, please say continually, shall continually be in my mouth. It is not enough for it to be in your heart. The proof is that it will be in your mouth. Hallelujah. What registers in your heart must first find expression in your mouth. Hallelujah. There's no way we know what you believe until we hear what you are saying. Hallelujah. That is why faith is an action word. It's something that you don't demonstrate faith without speaking. When God wanted to remake the earth, God said. There's something powerful about your utterance. There's something powerful about what you believe about yourself. There's something powerful about your disposition towards the mercy and the power of God. Look at the second verse. It says, my soul shall make a boast in the Lord. This is what it means to praise God. When you make your boast in the Lord, you make your boast in the Lord. It's not because you know what God is going to do, but you know whenever God shows up, he will do a great thing. You know he's going to do a good thing. It is this kind of scripture that helps you appreciate that you are not forgotten. That you are not forgotten. Look at me. The guy who wrote this scripture, put that scripture back on. The guy who wrote this scripture killed a man. The man who wrote this scripture killed his right-hand man and took over his wife. Such a person should not be allowed in the church. But he was the first to show up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil hold you back. Satan's selling strategy is for you to think that God will not accept you. The moment he sells that idea to you, it's game over. This guy was not the best of persons in the Bible. And his story was put there by God because of us. Because God knew that many of us in times to come will struggle. And we will think that how can I truly claim to be a servant of God, a child of God, with so many personal feelings? You look, sometimes you can't look at yourself in the mirror. Who knows what I'm talking about? You just look like, you are not the Christian people think you are. You just, you're a sinner. And that is Satan's narrative. You see, that is Satan's narrative. But you see, you are born of God. Hallelujah. You are born of God. That means you're a child of praise. You see, the scripture did not tell us that God lives in the atmosphere of prayers. The scripture says to us that God lives in the atmosphere of praise, which means that your praise level is your proximity level. Your praise level is how close you exactly are to God. Yeah, there's a place for prayer, and yes, we will pray and we will intercede. But if you want God to live in your house, you must be a praiser. If you want God to live in your house, you must be a dangerous and a reckless prayer. Yeah, the word is reckless. You are a reckless praiser. You owe nobody an apology. Do you see the way the unbelievers do their thing? Do you see the way they tell you, you are wasting your time in church, but when you go to the club, do you see the way they dance? Do you see where they party? Everybody will do vigil. It's just a question of where. Everybody will go for vigil. Oh, you are wasting your time. You should take your life more seriously. But, so what are you doing at the club? And they do, and they practice. They prove their worship of Satan by participating in dangerous activities. You see very young girls of 18, 20, smoking and taking hard drugs. And for them, that is the definition of being a matured and a free person. But they question your own loyalty to Jesus. The shisha they are smoking, did they pay for it? Huh? You have to pay. When you go to the club, it's 10,000. Okay. Now, stay with me. Do you know one or two people that put those things on their status? Have you seen some of those things? Now, why? Because they spent money on it. So they want you to know. The same way you go to the salon, you make your, and then you take a picture. That is the same way people will go into those places and they take a video, a short 1 minute video of them hanging out with their friends. And if you are lucky, there's a celebrity there. You just kind of capture and say, well, I'm hanging here with X, Y, and Z. You know, you are just trying to let people know your life is not boring. Listen to me. It is the worship of Satan. And it comes with a price. Whoever you worship, it has a price. So praise is not free. Praise is you taking of your precious time, converting your time, because time is currency. You are taking your time and you are saying, God, today I want to honor you. God, I don't know what the future holds, but I know if I stay close to you, my future is secure. Many of us stay close to God and we spend more time complaining. God said, don't complain, praise me. He said, don't complain, praise me. You can. Some of our prayers are pure complaint levels to a degree of 3,000 degrees centigrade. Your prayers are serious complaint levels. And God said, can we do something differently for the next 1 month? Like, I like you. You know, you are very expressive. But can we? Many people complain. And then at some point, you just realize you don't even know how to praise God again. You don't even know. You don't even know. Some people say, oh, worship is in the heart. My brother, it starts in the heart. It doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. Worship is the way God knows, or spirits know who has allegiance to them. There was a brother, well, he's not a brother because he's not saved. All the way from the UK. And he came down to Nigeria and went to Otter. When he got to the bush there, he told the driver to park. And he walked deep into the forest. And when he got into the forest, he saw speakers of houses of assembly. He saw many popular people you see on TV waiting, sitting on a bench. Some were sitting on the floor waiting for one baba that is uneducated. The man was... I saw the man, like I chatted with him. You know, the man was coming from the UK. He bought a Samsung, one of these very expensive Samsungs. And he put it in a bag with some cash. Like, so when he got to the baba, now this is a man that speaks through his nose. Hello, hi, can I have your number? He would do all of that in the UK. The moment baba came out of his shrine, see all these big men on their knees. I thought it was women who knee. I thought it was women. You see, worship must have an expression. That's why it was a question was asked, can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Because there's no way we will lift the worship of our God and will not express ourselves. We have to express ourselves. And one of the ways that any system can culture a generation is to change their songs. Once you are able to change their songs, when the white men came, they gave us hymns, they gave us so many things, but they didn't begin to see impact until they started changing some of our local songs into Christian songs. They started adapting it. They started doing several things. And you just know, okay, we can relate with this. We may not know your hymn, but we can sing this one. We can express it in our own culture. And listen to me, when we get to heaven, that's going to be the beauty of heaven. That every culture, every tongue, you are not going to lose your tongue because you went to heaven. You will have the heavenly tongue, but the scripture says every tongue, every nation, every culture, every tribe will be represented. Can you imagine the worship in heaven? They are still rehearsing. They are waiting for us. They are waiting for us. And when you get there, you must not shame your tribe. You must not shame your tribe. Don't worry. You are from T. You are from Nupe, Thief. Your tribe is on the list. You are from every tribe. God's commitment is that every tribe will be represented. That's why he's sparing some people. He's sparing some of those Asian countries. He's looking for remnants, people in those odd places, so that when it's time for the Japanese to lead worship in heaven, only everybody will learn Japanese that day. That's how important praise is to God. When we get to heaven, prayer will cease. That's how important it is. Come on, say this is a dress rehearsal. This is a dress rehearsal. Listen to me. If you want God in your space, in your corner, go and rearrange your environment. Make it comfortable for God. Make your environment what? Comfortable for God. Stop all that thing. We don't have light. You know, go and buy a rechargeable, you know, system or something. Get some small solar system. Go, if you don't have that, go and buy Duracell battery. Go and buy something that allows the praise of God be in your environment. Very significant. Come on, say significant. Hallelujah. Put up that scripture. Let's read a few more. In verse 3, David gave a call and he says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." So listen to me. We are going to take our praise beyond our personal consecration. Many times you will need to ask your friends to come around. I say, come, let us magnify the Lord. Do you know what it means to magnify? It's not just praising. You are lifting him up. You are making him bigger than the problem. You are make, and sometimes to magnify, you can't do it alone. You need numbers. You need numbers. This thing is heavy. Let's lift it. Let's lift it. So at the family level, you are coming into a corporate season of praise. Listen to me. As your friends, some of you that you pray together, tell them for the next 1 month, let's do something different. Let's do something different. Now, the goal is not just for you to have short moments of praise and divine expressions. The goal is for you to make this a lifestyle. God said concerning David, "I know David, my servant." Oh, I say, "I know David. I know David. I know David." There was one other man that God claimed that he knows. That man was called Abraham. And what did we find significant with Abraham? Abraham was a man of altars. Abraham was a man of worship. Listen to me. You don't need to be able to sing to become a worshiper. But you must have a definite altar that is standing before the Lord. Not an altar you come to when you have problems, but an altar where you come to magnify the Lord. David said, "Ma, come, let us magnify the Lord and let us what? Let us praise his name forever." In verse 4, he said, "I sought the Lord." Come on, say, "Sought the Lord." This is a man who before he would come with his request and say, "Oh God, I got this problem, I got that problem, I'm trusting you for a child." He said, he will come first to magnify the Lord. Do you know how powerful your praise is? King Saul was filled with a demon, and the praise from the lips of David sent that demon far away from him. Now, listen to me. This is the catch. The demons in the life of Saul were there legitimately. They were there because of his error. But because of the presence of another man in his space, and that man would just hold his guitar and his string instrument, and he would begin to worship the Lord. He didn't cast out the devil. David didn't try to bind the devil. All David did was stand in the place of worship, knowing that every time he lifts his voice to God, the heavens hear him and hell respects it. He knows. Listen to me, your worship is powerful. It has nothing to do with a keyboard. It has to do with the sound of it. There's something about the sound of your voice that makes meaning to God. David will stand there and he'll begin to sing, "Holy, holy." And a king that was filled with madness. In fact, there was a particular day that the demon became so upset and threw a javelin. That's how powerful your praise is. But you see, the praise will not only send the demon packing, the praise will protect you. Because when that javelin came towards David, he was able to escape. You see, living a life of praise is a decision. It's not just an anointing, it's a decision. Because you will have opportunity, you will have many reasons not to praise God. When you get to those environments and you get to those things, then you must make a declaration. "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." When you are coming from the doctor's office and the doctor said, "Oh, we may need to operate you," then you lift up your voice and say, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, there's something wrong here. There's some appendicitis there. There is some fibroid there. Oh, Vibron, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Listen to me, when you receive a negative report, don't panic, praise. Praise. David said, I sought the Lord. How did he seek the Lord? He sought the Lord in the place of thanksgiving and gratitude. He said, and the Lord heard me and delivered me. Come on, say, delivered me. The Lord, please put your name there. Say, the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered Benga from all his fears. Oh, I've got fears. I've got concerns. But when I sought the Lord heard me and he delivered me. Come on, say, deliver. The Lord delivered me. You can't do it yourself. You can't help yourself. You can't fix your home. You can't fix your marriage. You can't fix that situation in your family. You can't fix that doctor's report. You can't fix that medical condition. You can't fix that backwardness in your career. But when I sought the Lord, the Lord heard me. Come on, say the Lord is hearing me. The Lord heard me. The Lord paid attention to me. When I sought the Lord, when I came with a sacrifice of thanksgiving and of praise, then the Lord stopped what he was doing and he heard me. And the Lord heard me. The Lord heard me. And then he delivered me. He delivered me. He took away all the shackles. He took away all the chains. Everything holding me back. Things I couldn't understand. Things I couldn't decipher. Things I couldn't explain. The Lord delivered me from them. The Lord delivered me from them. I just noticed I wasn't sick anymore. I just noticed the disease is gone. I just noticed the shame is gone. Because when I sought the Lord, the Lord heard me. Come on, say the Lord is hearing me. The Lord heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Listen to me. Every time you stand before God and you found a scripture, and you found the scripture, a word of prophecy, a word of hope telling you that tomorrow is going to be all right, and you notice that you are still struggling, and you notice that you are unable to hold that thought in your heart and respond in faith to God, don't struggle with the fear. Bring it to your praise altar. Let your fears escort you. We are going somewhere today. We are going to magnify the Lord for 3 hours today. Either I die here or you die here, because I will seek the Lord and I will praise him until he hears me. And when he hears me, he has only one assignment: to deliver me from all, come on, say all my fears. He's not going to leave anyone. He's not going to leave anyone there untouched. No, he said he's going to. The next time you feel threatened, drag them. Say, come, we are going somewhere. 3 hours. 3 hours. And if you feel that you will not be able to stay, get a partner. Say it's 3 hours. 6 to 9 a.m. 6 a.m. Say it's 3 hours. So we are going to be, if I want, let's lock the doors. Let's lock the doors. Put your phone aside. Set your alarm. Until the alarm goes off, we are not stopping what we are doing. When the devil sees that you have run mad, because there is madness to the degree of the 10th level, when he sees that this one is not all right again, you see, we have prayed, but we have not praised, and the two must go together. Well, we have prayed, but we've not praised. Some of us have prayed 7 hours, but we've not prayed 7 hours. You need to combine the two to form a cataclysmic event. You need to be able to bring the two together, because it is when you seek him that he hears, which means you may be in a lot of problems, but if you don't take that conscious effort to seek the Lord, he will not be able to deliver you from your fears. Don't assume God knows. Seek him. The scripture says in verse 5, he said, they looked upon him and they were lightened. Come on, say lightened. They were lightened. They received revelation. When I look upon the Lord, he blesses me with revelation. I begin to see what was hidden from me. I could be in that office and I may not even know. I am in the midst of witchcraft and wizardry. But when I begin to look unto him, there is something about seeking God that starts when I begin to see him. You see, most times we have a crazy definition about seeking God. We think seeking God is about our problem. No, seeking God is about identifying with our source. That's your source. You are strongest when you are in your natural environment. You see, there's some in those days when we were kids, when we create trouble outside, and they are pursuing us. We just want to get inside our compound. We just want to enter that compound because your dad has one chair where he normally sits in front of the door. The moment you run in and people see your father's eyes, they stop outside. They will now start saying, Ichie Maduka, tell Chinedu to come out here and see us. I say, his Chinedu is not coming out. What did he do? Huh? The Yoruba people don't know how to do this one. Where is the Igbo people. Say, Ichie, tell Ebuka to come out. He say, what did he do? He stole our mango. He say, is it only mango? Go home. Tomorrow come, I will give you mango. Eh? There's something about being, once you enter your environment, you come under the protection of your parents. You come under the protection of your father. That's what praise does to you. Many of you get stuck and then you stay stuck. Many of you get stuck and you stay in the area where you are experiencing shame. No, run back to your source. Run back to your source. Stay there. Don't leave. Don't be in a hurry. Don't see God. Never see God's presence as a ball. Again, this is your source. He's the one who helps you. You know, yesterday, I just walked into the kitchen and I was trying to get some water and I opened the freezer and the bottle of water I was trying to get, I noticed I'd been frozen to the teeth. So, it was not just ice. It was a bottle of ice. There was nothing I could do. For hours, I had to bring that bottle out and just leave it out there in the sun. And the Lord gave me understanding. He said, this is what happens to you when you stay consistently with me. You become a defense. You are not just in your element. If you speak to a cup of water and you say to this water, do you know that you can become solid and nobody can penetrate into your defenses? It will say how. But when you take that same bottle of water, that cup of water, you put it in the freezer for 3 days, depending on the kind of freezer you have, if it's from Mushi or if it's from if it's from abroad, sometimes you don't even need 3 days. You bring out that same cup of water. On a good day, you could easily gulp that cup of water. But now, you can't even, you have to start adding water to it. To be able to get the essence, you have to start adding. That's what happens when you stay. You learn how to stay. We have to learn it as God's people to stay, not because we have a request. We just stay. We just stay. We just stay. And we, in that moment, you are praising Him. In that moment, we are just studying the word. In that moment, we are just blessing Him. In that moment, we just want His aroma, His presence to rub all over us. Have you ever prayed and spent some time and you came and people were like, wow, where are you coming from? There's something, there's a perfume, there's something nice around you. That's how some people found their husbands. You know what I'm saying? Because they stayed so much, the guy saw them and thought he saw a fine girl, but he was looking at the beauty of the Lord. Somebody did not hear me now. And then you see people say, why do you want to marry Miriam? Why do you want to marry Tinuke? The guy will say, I know what I saw. I cannot explain it. There is a glow from within. There is something about her that is different. That is the power of staying in the presence of the Lord till His atmosphere makes you into something completely new. Listen to me. This access can only be given to you when you enter into the realm of radical praises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read Psalm 28 and verse 7. Psalm 28 and verse 7. Very quickly. Psalm 28 and verse 7. Oh, Rashikatabali Sotaya. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him. And I am what? I am helped. I am helped. Come on, declare I am helped. I am helped. I am helped. I am helped. Therefore, my heart rejoices. Come on, see the word rejoicing again. We talked about rejoicing on Friday, right? Look at the word rejoice. He said, therefore, my heart rejoices. Why is my heart rejoicing? Because the Lord is my strength, is my shield. And I am what? I am helped. Come on, declare I am helped. Listen to me. Before you seek for the help of man, gain the attendance of God. Gain the attention of God. Get the word from the Lord that, don't worry, go, I'm with you. This is the most important thing. People are putting this thing backwards. Listen to me. You can't fix your home. After you get married, hand over your husband to the Lord. You think you can monitor anybody? Hand over your wife to you. You know that your wife, she has plenty guys around her. Always texting and chatting her. Don't worry. Once you marry, hand your wife over to the Lord. God knows how to handle her. You see all those boys? Those boys that call themselves besties. Don't worry. We will handle them. Before you start partaking in any kind of activity, tell her, let us pray. Today is the first day of our marriage. We consecrate this home. I hand you over to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. I hand you over to you. Then she too will say, I hand you over to the Lord. You hand over yourselves. So anywhere you are, if your wife saw your heart will be beating like it wants to burst, you will just quickly go home. Because the way this heart is beating, you may not survive it. So you have to go back home very quickly. Very quickly. Listen to me. True help comes from the Lord. True help comes from the Lord. True help comes from the Lord. And I wish I could tell you some very personal things, but today is not really about me. True help comes from the Lord. True help comes from the Lord. True help. Look, do you think everybody who got a job passed the interview? Somebody walked into an interview, and because he bears a similar name to the interviewer's mom, that's it. That's it, too. Do you know that this scripture, where we say, I was greatly helped, do you know what it means? It means that when I stay in God's presence and I receive the aroma of heaven, when I get into that interview, they just like you. Hello, how are you? What's your name? I say, I'm from you. Okay, sit down. The man doesn't even know why he's being favorable to you. You see, but he also has a soul. He has a spirit. For some reason, there is a connection now. He feels responsible for you without knowing. He suddenly feels like, I have to help her and I don't know why. I just have to do something to say, oh, this girl is very, she has tried. I mean, we all started from somewhere. Let's give her a chance. And then you will come out and tell your friend, I passed it. You didn't pass. You are helped. You are helped. You didn't pass. You are helped. I want you to declare, I am helped. In the name of Jesus, I am helped. In the name, I want you to say it until it enters into your spirit. I want you to declare it. Stand up upon your feet and declare it. I want you to prophesy and say, I am helped. I want you to prophesy until it enters into your soul, until it takes residence in your spirit. I want you to pray. I want you to be selfish for 1 minute and pray for yourself and say, Lord, in this season, I am helped. I am helped. I am helped. I am helped. I receive messengers of help. I receive messengers of help. I receive the mysteries of help. I don't know how to go into the city, but Lord, I declare, I am helped. I am helped. For my heart trusted in you. Therefore, I am helped. For my heart trusted in you. Therefore, I am helped. In the name of Jesus. Liga barikando soto yeberikaya. Zota legada baruko to soteada. Zukeli makara baduze dele diasa. Ale marose kata bayenda saya la bakono. Register your testimony today on the altar of praise. I want you to release yourself. Don't hold back. Register your testimony today. If there's a sickness or some ailment in your body, I want you to praise that sickness away. I want you to praise that affliction away. I want you to praise that backwardness away. I want you to declare, I am greatly helped. Likato marikasia. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Psalm 150 verse 1. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lika barasutale. Say, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to shout hallelujah. 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 When the angel shouted hallelujah, Babylon fell. Come on, shout hallelujah. Let the walls of Jericho begin to fall. 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 Come on, shout hallelujah. As you are shouting it to receive your new level. As you are shouting it to receive your new testimony. Shout hallelujah. The shout of victory, the shout of praise, the shout of thanksgiving, the shout of your new season. Give a shout unto the Lord. Listen, listen. The Lord is going to take away the spirit of heaviness and is going to give you the spirit of praise. Come on, say, I believe. Come on, say, I receive it. See, let me tell you. If you don't have any other option, this is the way. This is the way. I'm telling you. When the Lord is asking you to do something nobody in your family has done before, this is the way. King David didn't have any precedence to follow as it has to do with the worship of God. King Saul was rejected from the first day. There was nothing for Saul to hand over. Say, okay, when you become king, these are the festivals we normally do every year. This is the way to relate with the high priest. All those things. Saul was busy following wizards and witches up and down. There was nothing to hand over. So when David came in, he had to start afresh. There was no precedent. There are some of you that the things the Lord will be asking you to do, it doesn't have precedence in your family. It doesn't have precedence. So David's model is your model. Come on, say amen. Yeah. You have to understand this. If you are dealing with some very rare cases of backwardness and you are infirmity, maybe there's this particular ailment that everybody in the family always gets. This is the way. 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 Glory to God. It sounds weak. It sounds foolish. But that is the way. Go and check the life of Jesus. All his public prayers were prayers of thanksgiving. Say, Father, I thank you for you have heard me. And he was trying to raise a dead man. And he was praying. Mike, is there something we don't know about this praise thing? Because Satan took praise from us and gave us entertainment. He didn't tell us that praise is a weapon of war. He didn't tell us that with praise you can bring down an entire city. Raised against your family in the realm of the spirit. Why did God ask them to shout at Jericho? It was the shout of victory. So you can intercede for 7 days. But when you come to the place where you have to shout, what did Joshua say? He said, shout, for the Lord has given you victory. It was a cry of praise and victory. Oh God. Come on, say, I'm learning. So you will learn how to do it. You will learn how to do it. If you are too calculated, you will miss many things. If you are too organized and too educated, there are dimensions you will not touch. The Bible speaks concerning the Lord in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. The Bible says the seraphims that were around him, the Bible says they cried one to another. When they saw the holiness of God, they cried. They didn't say. They didn't sing. They cried. When they, you know, because you came to the service yesterday and you saw the Lord in a particular form. Now you are here this morning, you are seeing another dimension of glory. They didn't expect to see what they saw. They didn't know that dimension was there. So when they saw him, they cried, holy, holy. They cried. It was not repetition. It was glory after glory after glory after glory after glory. So just when you thought the praise worship was over, then God will morph into something else. And they say, if we stay here, we will die. Holy. Don't kill us. We are here to worship you. Holy. Ha. You would think it's as cheap. You see, the world will take away the reality and tell you to be dancing. They won't tell you that what they just substituted was a powerful weapon that even the 24 elders, they lay hold on. This is your escape. I said, this is your escape. Oh, I wish somebody will hear what I'm... This is your escape. You need to incorporate this into your life the way you have incorporated prayer. I'm telling you. Listen to me. When David became king, he didn't have any reference point. He didn't have anybody to say, oh, do it like... Even Samuel, who laid hands on him, didn't know this dimension. So when the Lord is asking you to chart a new course, say, be doing this 3 times a week, after 3 years, things start happening in a very... People say like, what do you want me to tell you? How? What do you mean by how? Do you know the power of consistently praising God in a pattern? Praising God in a particular way. Do you know what it means? Do you know what it means? Do you know why Satan even felt confident that he could overthrow God? Because among the cherubims, he was the only one that was anointed for praise. He was anointed to stand in his office. Other angels, while they are like robots, they are given their task, they do it. But this one, God poured oil on his head. So he was not just a cherubim. He was anointed to do what he did. And the word anointing is the word Christ. That's why he felt he could take over. He had something. Do you know that Jesus was? Do you know that Lucifer was called a is it morning star? Huh? But you know that's also one of the titles of Jesus. Listen, if you are sensing some limitation ahead of you, and you have prayed, sincerely, you know you have prayed, and that door is not opening, this is what you should do. Sincerely. It's not a formula, it's just the way it is. Let me tell you something. When you praise God, especially when you are in a moment where you have marked out to praise God, don't do it without an offering on the altar. Yes. This is just something between you and your God. Huh? Number one, don't praise God for 5 minutes. Because time is currency. For it to become the sacrifice of praise, it means it will cost you time. Please, are you hearing me? Please, don't even come up with that story like, oh, I sowed a seed last year. Listen to me. From the first day God spoke to Abraham, every time he raised an altar, he put an animal there. He did it until Isaac came. Oh, close to 30 years of that promise. Even when there was a particular day he was angry. And he told God, what? If you want to give me a child, give me all this, I will give you a child. I'm old. If you want to do it, you are God, do it. It was not about doing it, it was about the timing. Because if Isaac came 3 years earlier, it will affect the calendar of God for Christ. At least I will still give you the child, honey. And you will see the child grow up. So don't worry. And it's not a very easy place to wait. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, let it not be longer. Let it not be longer than this. Stretch your hands. Touch my life. Stretch your hands. Touch my life. Let it not be longer. In Jesus' name. Listen to me. That brother would raise an altar to the Lord, but it was not an empty altar. Do you know, even if it was just 1 big ram that he put on that thing, do you know he could have sold it? You know he was a farmer. Do you know that he was a keeper of livestock? Those things, do you think they eat it in the house? They sell it. Which means it was the proceeds from his business. Oh my God, I wish somebody heard me. Abraham brought the proceeds of his business to God, even when he was not happy. That's why it's called the sacrifice of praise. Because you are doing it, it's not this, you are not really excited, but the scripture says those who sow in tears will return. Yeah. When the devil says this one will not come, I say, wickedly, this one, look at all the altars he has raised over his family. The devil is telling you, you will not get married. Raise altars for your children, call their names, start paying tithe for them. When they open, the Bible says concerning what was the uncle of Esther? Mordecai. Say they should go and bring the books. That's where we got the concept of the book of remembrance from. Say, go and bring the book. They check. Say, this man did this thing. He did this thing. He did this thing. He did this thing. So what have they done? He said, nothing. Say, today we'll do everything together. And he was made the right hand of the king. The book of Malachi tells us, he said, they that were of one heart continue to speak one to another, and a book of remembrance was opened. You see the way we are talking. Huh? There's a book in the realm of the spirit called the Book of Remembrance. That Book of Remembrance, your name cannot be there if you have not done anything. You must have done something for you to be remembered. Is somebody hearing me now? Listen to me. When the devil tries to trap you and say you will not go beyond the devil, start raising altars for the seasons beyond that level. Start. It's a prophetic decision. It is not doctrine. It's prophetic. Call your children's name. Ezine, Chiamaka. Give me another name now. I promise. Shemilore. Name. Adal. All the children you want. As you are, even in the church, you say, I give off. Even if I 500, I give offering for Chiamaka. I give offering. The Bible says there shall be a returning. That returning, it will be impossible for God to lie. Satan will agree with God, you have earned it. Listen, don't be naive. Don't be naive. Jesus had to die. It was a sacrifice. Don't be naive. The supernatural realm works by sacrifice. Don't be naive. That's why it's called the sacrifice of praise. It is a sacrifice because at that moment it's costing you something. Come on, say my eyes are open. When you are coming, when whatever the situation is, there are some of you here 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. You are working at one company that you are praying that God should just deliver you from this company. Raise your hand. Okay. There are some of you, God opened another door, you start working remote. Raise your hand. You are in your house, you don't pay for transport, and you are better off. Raise your hands. Huh? Can you see all those hands? Huh? Listen. When Daniel was in Babylon, he made a sacrifice. You know the sacrifice? Do you know what it means to be in the king's house and you are not, the Lord is not permitting you to eat what they are eating? Huh? You know what it means? That food is not the one in your village. Oh. This one is prepared by chefs. When I went to Benin City, and the governor put me in a brand new hotel. Nobody has slept in that room before me. My sister, it's another level. So see that I like the governor. I like the guy. I don't know what he's doing, but I just like his name. Okay, I like his name. Can you imagine? They said, they put me in. I asked the person, I said, how much is it? They say it's like 85,000 per night. I said 80,000. I said, they would have given me the money. I know one place, Barra will just take me to one place, like 30,000, 40,000. Like, I'll be here for 4 days. He'll be spending 80,000. Say, no, your breakfast is here. Your breakfast is, there's an allocation for about 30,000 per day. I said to eat. They say yes. Then when I get to the governor's, to the training center, they will still bring food. All of them came to me. The palm sex, the director, they say, we noticed when we all went to eat, you did not join us. I said yes. Say no, you should. You've been talking since morning. I said no, it's okay. Just give me water. You know why? Let me tell you. That was my first time training for the governor. So it must be a seed. I must not be reckless. Yeah. Huh? The Bible says when you are in the king's house, put a knife to your throat. Don't eat everything you see. Do you know that the food, because it was some kind of like buffet or something at the hotel. Do you know that I couldn't even really eat it? I would just go there, take a cup of coffee. I took coffee, amen. So I took coffee. I took snacks. But you see the real food that they prepared. I didn't touch it. Because for me, I know the day will come that without begging, it will be the kings of the earth saying, come. And when, go and ask, maybe you're me, those of us from PGT Accra, the first time I went to preach for daddy, they had a buffet. I don't know if you're me was in Accra or some of Sumisola. Mommy complained. She said, Benga did not eat. So even when they invite, they say, don't bother cooking for him. He will not eat. And if you insist I must eat, I will give you a recipe. If you insist. The recipe is very simple. Give me white rice. No salt. Give me water. Okay, bring some, if you can get me palm oil. Or granite, just some granite oil.
Then just bring everything. Then if you can get ground pepper, just bring it.
They will be so embarrassed.
You like it? It's the way we grew up.
But you know, like, oh, you're our guest. They'll be feeling ashamed. I say, don't bother.
You cannot cook my food. I'm not here to eat. I'm on assignment.
Huh? He says, you must know how to enter the king's house. Enter his bedchamber.
I went to preach for my friend in just 5 days. I did not eat. 5 days. As I'm landing at the airport, I turn off my system. I turn it off.
See, greatness respects sacrifice. Whatever you are doing, the sacrifice of praise. Go and begin to give all those people that say, oh, my brother, I don't know what's wrong with you, my sister, she's wayward. Start giving offering on his behalf. Shiamaka, 500 naira, I want an offering. Say, God, the day will come when my sister will go to church herself, I will honor you and worship you. Be wise.
It won't be convenient, though.
It won't be convenient. But the day your harvest will speak, people will say God is not fair. Hallelujah. Somebody hearing something now? Because some of us are going through that element of sacrifice. That's why I say you can't praise God in 5 minutes. You can do it, but the kind of praise I'm talking about, you will schedule it. Some of you, if you turn off your phone for 2 hours, you'll be feeling like you have fever. It's as if there's one message that somebody is trying to reach you now. Don't worry. Do it for Jesus. Do it for Jesus. If you cannot praise God, if you don't know how to sing, go and buy data. Go to YouTube. We have some traditional songs there, Nigerian Christian songs, or if you like it, some whatever. Be playing it from your phone and be singing along. Tell yourself, 3 hours. There are some of them, they are 8 hours. If you go on YouTube, 8 hours, 12, you will die, you will sing and die there. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Even Jesus magnified his father in the book of Psalms, speaking about his time on the cross. He said, I know that you will not leave me in hell, and neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. This was Jesus acknowledging the fact that his father is watching over him, even as he goes through that process. Listen, the same way you have learned how to pray, you will now incorporate this into your life. You will schedule maybe once in a quarter, 3 days, 5 days, 7 days. You will not utter one prayer of request to God. One, like, oh, God, today, deliberate. No! Go and tell God, say, Father, I want to start paying my tithe in dollars. Give me a job. Lord, I want to be paying $1,000 tithe. So what kind of salary are you asking for?
1 million.
No, 10,000.
10,000.
A month. Yeah. Then when you tell God that one, take a step of faith. How much are you earning now? You are earning in Naira. Let's say your tithe is 10,000. Increase it to 20,000 here. That this extra is the token of this covenant. Some people, it was with fight that Holy Spirit reminded them to give their tithe. With fight, they couldn't sleep at night. Say, my daughter, you are a thief. That's how they went and paid their tithe. With fight. Say, Lord, deliver me from greed. Listen, greedy people can sacrifice. People who argue with their keypad cannot sacrifice. People who are waiting for one big profit to honor God. The issue of tithe is, God is not going to spend your money. It's your way of saying, God, I honor you. Thank you. Thank you that I'm here. I'm not dead. I can still honor you and expand your kingdom through this work, through my giving. That's what it's about. And don't let anybody deceive you. There's nobody that is not giving. Everybody's giving. Go to the coven, they will tell you. They ask somebody, say, bring your mother.
He said, no, I can't bring my brother. He said, it's not doing it again. They said, once you enter here, you can't go out. So you want to go out and tell them that we said you should, you know, your mistake was coming. So that's why you find that many of those rich people, they are ruthless. They don't have art because they thought they could just go in and see Baba. Baba now said, no, in this place, once you enter, you have collected form. I have made a decision to praise God. I have made a decision to praise God that every part of my being, listen to me, the scripture speaks concerning Lucifer. The Bible says every aspect of his being were what? Were designed and crafted for praise. That means if he opens his mouth, it's not words you hear. He will look at the mood of God. Oh. Lucifer will not just sing. He will look at the mood of God. Then he will bring a song. Huh? And may I also announce to you that he rarely sings the same song twice. Huh? And if you think it's not possible, you go to my friend in Jos. He will be teaching and he will begin to sing. But the song is just came there. Nobody, and everybody will learn it there and they will sing it. If God can do that with a man, how much more his own personal music minister? Listen to me. In the days that we have come into, God will prove himself strong on your behalf. As we round up this session, because when we come for second service, it will be prophetic. Amen. Let me tell you. Our second service will be dedicated towards total cancellation of insults, strange insults, partial victories. I say partial victories. We are going to be like the sons of Hezekiah, who came to war not with instruments of war, but with instruments of praise. Listen to me, you don't know the way into the city. You don't. But there is a God that sits in heaven and can order the heart of kings in whatever way that he has chosen. And that's your portion. I say that's your portion. I say that's your portion. I said, that's your portion. I said, that's your portion. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands and magnify him this morning. You're amazing. You're amazing.